The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Coming up next month, the House of Representatives will vote on President Trump's first infrastructure plan. I question infrastructure. Is it needed and how is it done? I know the potential for disaster. So let's get the facts from House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman Bill Schuster, representing Pennsylvania's 9th Congressional District. How are you, sir?
Good, very good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. The 9th is what, south and east of Pittsburgh area?
South and east of Pittsburgh, almost to Harrisburg. Very rural district, one of the most rural districts in Pennsylvania and one of the most in the country.
So you got the Monongahela and the Youghiogheny Rivers over there?
Well, the Monongahela, the Yauks not to be the district, but the Monongahela is.
So okay. Right there. There's the border for you. So tell us about this infrastructure project. So far, what do we know about it, or what information do you have?
Well, so the president laid out his principles. And he says we need to spend $1.7 trillion, which I salute the president. I applaud him for being the first president in 50 years since Eisenhower, really, that has been talking about the need to invest in America's infrastructure. Our infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways, but much more than that, airports, inland waterways, the Monongahela River, the locks and dams, the ports and harbors of this country. We need to invest in them, and that is a federal responsibility to be part of that solution. And it's right from the founding of this country, and if you're a reader of The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith said the government should do three things for the people: provide them with security, preserve a system of justice, and erect and maintain infrastructure to promote commerce. And that's what we've done since the beginning of our country, but we haven't made the investments at the federal level the way we should. And the federal level, the locks and dams, the waterways are certainly a federal responsibility, but building the national highway system is something that Eisenhower did. And so, again, the president's right. Some of the things he's put forward are outstanding. Some of them I don't think are going to be able to move. But, again, it's something we need to do. It's, a fundamental role of government to invest in the infrastructure of the nation.
I think, and I can't speak for my entire audience, but I think a large sentiment from people in my audience would be, or primary sentiment would be, how do we make sure it's not filled with waste and corruption? Because that has been the story of infrastructure projects forever. Waste, whether it's bad plans, funneling stuff to just people as political paybacks, and any other level of corruption.
Well, Doc, you're absolutely right, and we can do a much better job of that. And that's something in the past several years, since I've been a member of Congress, we've passed some reforms. We're moving in that direction. There's still a lot of work to be done when there's waste and fraud and those kinds of things, and we need to keep an eye on that as Congress. But we also need to make sure that we're making the investments we need to make, because we haven't done that. And one thing people should understand is the way we get the money for the Highway Trust Fund, the way we get money for roads, bridges, transit system in this country, is you pay a fee at the pump. It's a user fee. If you drive, you pay something at the pump. And 100% of that money goes into the Highway Trust Fund. It's a user fee, and 100% of that money is spent on roads, bridges, and transit systems in this country. So it's not something that you pay that goes to Washington and we don't know where it goes. We know where it goes. Now, we can do it much more efficiently, and that's something we're really working hard on. And with this president, I think we've got a great opportunity to eliminate much of the red tape and the efficiency, because this president is a builder. He understands when you're going to build a building, you need to come on time, under budget. That's the way you have a success when you're building projects. So again, we can do a lot better than that. We're going to keep striving to do much better.
So would the power structure, would our electric grid, would any of that be covered, or is that separate? Is that not considered infrastructure as far as this goes?
No, that is certainly considered infrastructure. On my committee, we don't have jurisdiction over that. That falls under another committee, and we'll be working closely with that committee.
Okay.
But yes, the power grid, absolutely. And our power grid needs, and that's not about federal dollars being spent on the power grid. That's those private utilities, letting them keep more of their money, which we did in the tax bill. Let them keep more of their money, reduce the red tape so they can build this stuff. They can build it and expand it. The other thing is broadband. I'm from rural America. And in rural America, we are underserved by broadband. And so what do we need to do is lower the threshold for these companies to build out the broadband, not only in rural America, but in inner cities in some places. The poorest sections of inner cities don't have the kind of broadband service that they need. So that's going to be part of this bill, and it should be part of it. But again,
I'm sorry to interrupt real quick, though, but with the broadband, you would be talking about doing things to make it more beneficial or a friendlier environment for businesses to develop out, or would you talking about federal dollars for the broadband?
No, there shouldn't be any federal dollars for broadband. The Verizon, the AT&Ts of the world, they have plenty of... We just got to get out of their way.
I'm with you on that.
And encourage them to go out and build this stuff. And if they don't want to do it, and in rural America, sometimes they don't want to do it. They set up in the 30s the rural electric co-ops. So these are co-ops that are not government-owned, and they built out the electric lines in rural America. If these big companies don't want to do it, then let's let the rural co-ops do it, and they'd be happy to do it. They got telephone poles out there. They can throw up lines and, you know, charge a fee for their customers to get this service, and off we go.
Talking with Bill Schuster, Congressman from Pennsylvania's 9th Congressional District, House Transportation Infrastructure Committee Chairman. I think if you as a member of the House, government, leading and saying, hey, private industry, we're getting out of your way, we're going to make it as cheap and the best business environment we can, and we're also going to lead to say, hey, we need you to start heading in this direction. Let's build out infrastructure. Let's work together. I am all about that. I mean, I think most of my audience is too. Yeah, let's do it.
Well, let me just say this, as you said, to your point, one of the first infrastructure bills will be in March, and it's a priority for the president, it's a priority of mine, it's to take the air traffic control system, which is part of the FAA, you leave the safety piece back at government, but you take out the operations, and the air traffic control operations is a 24/7 high-tech information provider to guide planes safely from point to point, and it's bogged down in the government, and we've probably spent somewhere in the vicinity of $40 billion over the last 40 years to modernize the system, and we've got nothing for that $40 billion. So almost every industrialized country in the world has taken and separated the regulatory piece, which stays at government, with the operations piece, and that's going to be our first infrastructure bill up. The president said he's all on board, so we're going to be working hard. And the thing that really shocks me is there are conservatives in the House of Representatives that are saying no to this, and they're saying no to this because of a small interest group. The general aviation, the business pilots, the rich guys that fly planes around the country, they're opposed to it because they got a sweetheart deal. And I have Republicans saying no. I understand why the Democrats say no. They want everything in government.
Sure.
But so we have an opportunity to do this. And so anybody that's listening, look into it, the AIR Act, the 21st Century AIR Act. Call your representative. We're going to take 35,000 people out of government, move them into to an entity outside of government, a private entity, so they can provide this service. And we believe it'll reduce the cost to the traveling public over time.
As long as they're completely removed and done separate, it's not one of those quasi-government agencies. That sounds awesome.
Sir. No, it's not like the post office. It's not like Amtrak. But what it will look like, it'll be a nonprofit corporation, and the board of directors will be the stakeholders. It'll be a representative from the government, from the general aviation community, from the airlines. They'll operate that like a co-op, and a nonprofit sort of a misnomer. They will make a profit, but the deal with the profit is it goes back into the corporation to make the system better or drive down the cost. And Canada has a system like this. And they've driven down the cost over the last 20 years or so by 40%. And, you know, we're spending billions of dollars, $16 to $17 billion a year at the FAA, and much of that is squandered on these contracts and getting nothing for our money.
So one of the other concerns that I've had about infrastructure, because the things that you've said where you're focusing on private and encouraging business by, you know, government policies, less rules, sounds awesome. My biggest problem with infrastructure, aside from the potential for graft and corruption, which has been the history, especially during the ones during the Obama administration, is the price. So if you're talking about paying for this because we have to raise the price at the gas pumps because of the gas tax, that's problematic. But I also have the issue and concern over our growing debt because we have another deficit that's around $1 trillion now. And then tolls on top of it. So are we going to get it both ways and have a deficit?
Well, first let me say that this tax bill that we've said, it's just that the claims are it's going to add tremendously to the deficit. I don't believe that. I believe when companies invest their money, put people back to work, that'll drive the deficit down. But that's the thing about a user fee. As a conservative, I believe that if you use something, you ought to pay for something. And that's what, as I said earlier, the highway trust fund dollars, what you pay at the pump does not contribute. If it's funded at the appropriate level, it does not contribute to the deficit at all. It's a user fee that goes back into its intended purpose. We do the same thing on the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. We do the same thing on the Inland Water Fund. Users of the system pay into it, and that money should go for 100% to what it was intended for. And again, that's not deficit spending if you're doing it the right way.
Well, and the president's plan, according to the press secretary the transportation secretary, is that they would also encourage and work with local communities for tolling the roads, which, again, is a user fee. That's fine, except when I'm getting it both ways because I pay for the gasoline and then I get tolled as well. And real quick, as a side note, tolls are incredibly inefficient. You have to pay to maintain the systems, even if you don't have the worker be there and it's just automatic now. You still have to pay for that. It's an added expense.
Sure. And I don't believe that's one of the pieces of the president's plan to encourage tolling. We think doing something that raising the fee at the pump is going to be tough. Well, you get a person who's in my district, Route 81 runs through my district, a 56-year-old man or woman have been driving on I-81 for 40 years and they think it's for free. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to put tolls up. I just don't believe that's going to happen. Now, one thing, if you build a new road or you build extra lanes and you say we're going to toll those lanes, but as you said, people have already paid their fees at the pump to build those highways. So I don't believe we're going to see a massive increase in tolling around this country. Just not going to happen.
I mean, because the Pennsylvania Turnpike runs through your district, and I have declared that maybe the worst highway in America. It's expensive. It was poorly designed from the inception because it was so long ago. I mean, that's a problem. What is that? Pittsburgh to Philadelphia has got to be, what, almost $50 now?
You know what? I have not taken that leg.
It's horrible.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But and you're right. It was built. It was the first superhighway built in America. It's the granddaddy of all the highways. And the fees are high, but it was poorly designed because of 70 years ago whenever they built it.
It's mountainous terrain too. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're making improvements now. If you go from about Harrisburg to Philadelphia now, it's six lanes now. They have the money. They're expanding it, and people don't like to necessarily pay the toll, but when there's a bad weather or something, the Pennsylvania Turnpike is a roadway that's, because it's paid for by the users, they get out there with the salt trucks, the treatments. That roadway is in really good shape when you have inclement weather, usually, unless it's overwhelming. But again, people pay for it, they use it. If you want to use a system, you ought to contribute to it.
Well, yeah, and I think people understand that. You're right in the audience, but if the Pennsylvania Turnpike, for example, also gets federal dollars from the gas fund and a user's fee, and yet other ones don't, there's a disparity between how we do it. I think we either say we're all going to pay based on mileage, which I think is a bit of a fail, or the gasoline tax or toll roads. But when you get multiple ones in there, I mean, government's just taking it multiple times, Congressman.
Well, that's a good point, but the Pennsylvania Turnpike does not get any federal dollars.
Oh, okay, then that's separate. That's fine.
They don't get federal dollars. They take their federal dollars and they use it on the Route 80s, the 81s, the other interstate systems, 95 that run through Pennsylvania.
All right.
The Pennsylvania Turnpike, not only does it collect enough to take care of itself, it contributes back to some of the road projects outside of the Turnpike's purview. But because again, it's a system. That's something that I think everybody needs to understand. Eisenhower in the 50s came up with this concept of paying at the pump, and we built the national highway system. It is a national system. If you want to get from New Jersey to California, you've got to go through Pennsylvania. You've got to go through Arkansas or states out there. And so everybody pays a little to make sure we get that system going coast to coast, north to south, and we all benefit by it. Everybody in the country benefits by the transportation system. Even if today, if I don't leave my house, when I go to the refrigerator and pull up that carton of milk, it got here through the transportation system. So we all benefit by it. We all ought to be concerned that it's crumbling. And that's why I'm so proud that the president in his inaugural address said infrastructure has to be a priority.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned Eisenhower. Have you ever read his, where he got the idea when he was a young soldier, when he had to travel coast to coast in the military and realized they couldn't do it? There were just not enough proper roads to get there.
Right after World War One,
yeah.
He was a lieutenant colonel, and he took a caravan across the country. It took him like 2 weeks. Today we can do it in like 2 days or 3 days. But that was any. And then World War Two, he saw what the Germans did. The Germans could move their troops all around Germany because they built this fabulous highway system. So when you talk about the national highway system, it's about national security too, making sure we can go to places and do things in times of trouble. And that's what Eisenhower came up. And I'd also like to make a point. I've also I brought up the name of Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations. Mm-hmm. He said infrastructure is a role to govern. But it's the three great builders, infrastructure builders of this country are Republicans. Lincoln built the Transcontinental Railroad, not in the time of a recession or depression, but the middle of the Civil War, he built the Transcontinental Railroad. Teddy Roosevelt built the Panama Canal, and Eisenhower built the interstate highway system. So it's a Republican issue. It's something that conservatives believe in. It's something that if you're in a business, you invest in your physical plant. And the physical plant of the United States is our transportation system.
Well, really good information, Congressman. I appreciate you sharing with us. Congressman Bill Schuster, if done well and done right, done proper, I could see our audience supporting a lot of it. If not, there's going to be some problems. But thank you for sharing.
You're absolutely right. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and the folks that are listening today.
Have a good day, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
Chairman of the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee, Bill Schuster, and I'll tweet out a link to his information as well. Good information. I didn't realize Pennsylvania Turnpike didn't get any federal dollars. I assumed, because I know some do, it's still a challenge. And, of course, the frustration is when they promise us the tolls will go away and they don't. I have no problem with building infrastructure and building our country. I think that's good for us. It does create jobs. You shouldn't do it for that reason. It does make our lives better and more efficient. He's absolutely right. But I know the history of infrastructure, and it ends up being a payback to people, and there's a ton of waste, graft, and corruption. If he's talking about having and empowering businesses to do it by getting out of their way and leading, that's fine. Devil's in the details, but so far, he brings up some good points.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.